tonight, a special thing. Just looking back over your day, know that God was with you at every step. Every place your feet went, God was there. Every experience you had, God was there. And so now, as your feet led you to this place, we know that God is here. Let us expect a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. It may not be apparent at first, but your feet carry an enormous load. Actually, I know they carry an enormous load because my feet get tired every now and again. But did you know that the average person walks an equivalent of 3 times around the earth in a lifetime? Now, we all go different speeds. Maybe you're not a marathon runner, but that's just the average person. It's a lot of walking. Some of us scoot. Some of us shuffle. Some of us trip. Some of us move quickly. And others of us just try to keep up with what other people are doing. And others leave other people in the dust as they try to keep up with us. But our feet take us on adventures. And it's a complex mechanism. There are 23 bones, 33 joints, and over 100 muscles and tendons. In fact, the foot is one of the most complicated parts of the body. And whether you know it or not, your feet represent you. They take you to the places where the rest of you end up. They bring you safely home. They walk journeys with you. They are always, as we say, we are always underfoot. If your feet feel hurt, your whole body hurts. If your feet are cold, you're cold all over. If your feet are dirty, you probably just can't possibly feel clean until you wash them. Your feet take you anywhere you want to go. And that's why the scripture says in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet who bring good news. You know, a lot of times when we get up, sometimes our feet aren't working so good. I know every now and again, my feet just aren't quite what they need to be. Other times, I blame my shoes. Sometimes my shoes are fitting a little too loose, and I stumble a bit. Or I still remember injuries to my foot that I had many, 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 many years ago. And every now and again, that pain just sort of flares up. And so it just don't feel quite sturdy on my feet. We know sometimes that we even use the analogy of feet on furniture. And when that table in that restaurant that we like doesn't quite sit, we say, oh man, boy, we had to put something underneath the foot of that table. Because feet level things out. They're not only vehicles that take us places, but they're also things that help us understand the road. They help us level out, and they help us get to where we're going. Peter, one of Jesus' most favorite disciples, it's sort of like having a favorite holiday. Well, you love all holidays. And Jesus loved Peter, James, and John particularly well. He spent the most time with them out of all the 12. Imagine what they might have been feeling this night. We call Maundy Thursday. We call Holy Thursday, this holy week. To them, it was just another ordinary Passover. However, it began with a lot of celebration on Palm Sunday when Jesus was heralded as king, that he was going to just turn everything upside down, not realizing that Jesus was really here to turn things back upside right, because things before had been already turned upside down. Jesus was going to fix things. There might have been some anxiety, anticipation around the table. This Passover, Jesus, after this meal is over, you're going to be king. He was king. And little did they know that the king needed to be the suffering servant first. And so as Jesus prepared for the meal, you can imagine now, we don't know how big the table was. I think in our minds, we think of the painting by Leonardo da Vinci, right? You know, he wasn't there, by the way. And we have no film, actually, to really understand the setup. We just know the customs of the day. And usually the the head of the table, the one who convened the meal. It would usually be the man in that Jewish culture, and he would be sitting at the center, if the oldest person of the family. So if there's a granddad living, the granddad would be seated at the center of that table. In this case, it was a group of disciples who were with their master for this special occasion. And so we could understand that Jesus would have been in the center, and his favored disciples, you know, Peter and John would have been close by, and the other disciples scattered about. The important thing to remember is that every single one of the disciples who were seated at Jesus for this meal, remember, it was a regular meal, which is what we were sort of trying to capture with our soup and sandwich, soup and bread over at the Price Hall immediately preceding this, that the disciples ate, they conversed together, they talked about their day. They probably talked about the events of Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, that first day of the week, and all the other things that happened in between. Remember, Jesus overturned the tables in the temple. He got the religious leaders all up in arms. He was confusing everybody by his behaviors of hanging out with people that everybody else wanted to ignore. And so now, finally, at rest at this table, the disciples gathered around Jesus. Jesus shares in this Passover meal. But before they share the cup, or rather after they did all of that, and before they left for the evening, Jesus got up from the table and took the role of a servant and washed their feet. And you'd say, why in the world would Jesus wash their feet? Peter even wondered. Comes up to Peter as Peter is seated there, and Jesus says, it's your turn, I'm going to wash your feet. And he says, no, you're not washing my feet. Now, Peter may have felt saying, oh my gosh, you shouldn't wash my feet. First of all, look at my feet. And secondly, why should you? I'm your servant. Let me wash your feet. But Jesus insisted. And he said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, then this common experience that we're having, you'll be excluded. But everybody here is going to be included. And remember, as John says parenthetically here, Jesus, of course, knew who was going to betray him. And Jesus washed his feet too. Because either everybody's included or nobody's included. When God so loved the world, he didn't leave out some little corner of a nation over there on the side. He didn't leave out a certain group, a certain language. He didn't leave out a certain custom or a certain age. He didn't leave out a certain gender or a certain height or weight. He didn't leave out people who ran fast or people who walked slowly. Jesus, if God so loved the world, it has to include the whole world. And so around this meal, as Jesus puts on the role of a servant, takes on the role of a servant, and comes up and he washes Peter's feet, Peter objecting at first, Jesus says, no, you're either with me or you're not. And so then Peter, you know Peter, always sort of putting his foot in his mouth. And here's a perfect example. Well, all right then. If you're going to wash my feet, then here, take my hands here, a little under the arms here. I got my hair's a little messy. And Jesus says, no, Peter. How exasperated was Jesus by this point? Just moving forward, he was born to die. He's now ready, as we talked about on Palm Sunday, that this is now the grand stretch, the final stretch. Jesus is moving toward the cross, and Peter still, well, fine, if you're going to give me a bath, give me a bath. So Jesus has to pause again. Says, Peter, please, listen, this time, I don't have much time left. Pay attention. See, everybody takes baths. Everybody gets clean. Not talking about that. I'm talking about the role of a servant. I'm showing you that I am your servant. And you don't need to have your hair washed right now. You don't need to take a bath. You're fine. But your feet are dirty, and the role of a servant means I wash your feet. And so please, give me your foot. And then he moves on to the other disciples. You know, in Jesus' day, they didn't have a lot of really cool Nike sneakers. They didn't have fancy shoes. They didn't have socks of what we would call socks. They just mostly had sandals. They had leather cover-ups for their feet. And, you know, the roads back then weren't exactly like the roads we have today. Okay, they weren't anything like the roads we have today. They were on the worst possible dirt road. And remember, they had lots of animals. So the animals are also using these same roads. And so they didn't have, it was no macadam, no cement, no asphalt. The roads were all dirt. And so you didn't even have to take a few steps to go just to a neighbor down the road that your feet were totally awful. And in Jesus' day, there was a custom. It probably wasn't practiced perfectly. I'm sure there were some families that decided not to be so hospitable. But when you went into a house and you were a guest, the first thing the owner of the house did was pull a basin up and wash your feet. That's what they did. First of all, you don't want people tracking in dirt in your house. But more importantly, the guest, having now been perfect, he's already clean, the person's already ready to go, they're paying a visit. Everything about them is clean except for their feet. The ordinary wear and tear of life needs to have constant attention. And so washing feet in Jesus' day was very, very common. It was an ordinary thing to do. The special thing that Peter was so alarmed at was that the master was doing the foot washing. So what would foot washing be for us? We don't need to have our feet washed. Most of us, well, maybe in the summertime when we have our sandals on, I guess those get pretty bad. But generally speaking, with the foot washing, what would be the modern day example of foot washing? It would be anything that shows hospitality and care to another person. So Jesus says, this is an example. Do as I have done. Jesus' intention for, by and large, and most of the Christian church has taken this view, wasn't just to teach, you know, foot washing 101 and have every single person in the world do foot washing. But he did say, follow my example. And so today, our example is that the host should always take care of their guests. Whoever is the host, your job is to take care of the guests. You are the servant for the guests. The second is never be ashamed to serve others. It could get annoying sometimes. Sometimes some guests can be annoying. Sometimes they can be very demanding. But we are not to take the message or the role of a master. We are instead to take the role of a servant and recognize that we should never be ashamed to serve. If we want to follow Jesus, then we serve other people. And then the third point we might take away when Jesus says, this is an example, you should continue to do this as I have done to you, is that if we're serving, we're going to get dirty. If we're going to help other people clean their feet, offer hospitality for other people, then it's going to take something from us. It's going to cost something for us to do that. That's why churches today, it's so important that we show hospitality, that we go out of our way to make sure, since we are the host, the session, the deacons, those the regular attenders of a worshiping community, we are the host. So when the community comes, we open all the doors, all the windows, we make sure people feel welcome, we make sure that there's accessibility, that all the blessings that are contained on the inside are made available on the outside. And so for us to live as Jesus' example means that, for our case, Cold Spring Presbyterian Church should be among all the churches. We should definitely be getting right after 305 years of practice. There's just no church that is more hospitable than us, and I think that's true. That a lot of churches have in the front of their church the sign. Remember what it always says? All are welcome, which is a great thing. It's a wonderful affirmation. It aligns here with Jesus' showing of hospitality. Jesus is welcoming. God so loved the world. Everybody's in it. Everybody's welcome. But have you ever been in a church where some people weren't so welcoming? It's like that sign out front. You'd like to go out with a magic mark and kind of scratch that off. Most people are welcome. Some people are welcome. Not today, they're not welcome. So here at Cold Spring Church, in our families, in the way we treat one another, show respect to one another and dignity, offer dignity to one another, that the opportunity is that Cold Spring Presbyterian Church will be known for a lot of things, but definitely be known as the church of welcome, the church of hospitality, because we take Jesus' example seriously. I'm glad that the hymn says, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. And for her life, he died. You know, this week, as we think about guests, family, visitors, we have a whole community that at Easter time, some people are more open to spiritual truth than any other time of the year. What a wonderful time to be, as Jesus' example, to be the servant of all. I'm very grateful that our congregation lives into that every single day. And as we find new opportunities to do so, let us pray. As we think about the week ahead, perhaps you could think about ways that you'll be meeting other people, maybe a neighbor, maybe family. Consider how this year you would just make them feel more welcome than ever. That as an example of Jesus to love one another and to take on the role of a servant, that means there's no room for pride. There's no room for me first. Only others first. Lord, we thank you for this world and in its complexity and in its behaviors. We know that many neighbors don't feel welcome. We know that many struggle with many things that hold them back. Lord, I thank you that you've reminded us tonight that you are our Lord and yet servant of all. And we thank you for coming to seek and to save all those, including us, leaving none out. In Jesus' name, amen.